Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Fink Bottom Trouser, the ring announcer from Sideshow Pro Wrestling, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
All right, my next guest is the United States Champion of New Moon Rising Wrestling. There is no one more awe-inspiring in the entire promotion. I bring to you Justin America. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Oh. I'm sorry, guys. You were there. I was looking at my United States Championship. I apologize. I'm guessing you guys asked how I am. I am doing great.
This is the Greek god, Demetrius Papadon, the greatest unsigned talent today, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
Fusion DS is fine because it reminds me of the time where the Steiners were fighting, and they still won the tag team championship at Sold Out. WCW.
Oh, Dan. You're going to make me do it, aren't you?
You're just supposed to do it.
This is Niles Young, the greasiest and most dastardly Italian in all of professional wrestling, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
And, of course, Azrael has that classic song, Liquor.
Yes.
That really fires me up as well.
There really is no other way to go.
But let's just get it straight. Liquor, and it's liquor as in alcohol.
Yes. Anything else would just not be appropriate for all ages.
I'm just saying Rob Zombie is a genius.
Rob Zombie is, especially with an innuendo such as that. With me, as always, is my co-host. He is the above-average comedian, Dan the Man Law. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, everybody. How you doing? How you doing, Dean? You doing all right after Saturday? Feeling okay?
I have been told not to talk.
Boyfriend told you not to talk about it?
Will you stop? Not already, Dan.
All right. Well, I meant just friends as in they were boys, not as you were gay.
Yes.
You can follow me at DanLaw83 on Twitter. Cujo in the house.
Alrighty. And with us, as always, this time from the very start.
Hell yeah.
Is our wrestling and MMA analyst, the man who does his due diligence, Chris Omega Squad Green. How are you tonight, sir?
I am outstanding. Tonight, and the fine people can follow me on Twitter at Omega Squad.
Right now, you can, of course, read...
Get the plugs in.
Yes, you can, of course, read the blog. That is HIACtalkradio.com. It's updated more frequently these days. You can also follow the Twitter at HIACtalkradio. Like the Facebook at Facebook.com, HIACtalkradio. Are we catching on now, people?
What we're trying to say is if you just type in HAIC Talk Radio, you will find us anywhere.
Or HIAC.
What
was the other day?
HIAC, yeah, that's what I meant. I knew I was going to screw it up one day.
Pardon me. You can subscribe on iTunes. Just search for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Or HIAC.
And you can also find us on Stitcher.
Stitcher Radio.
Stitcher?
Yes, we are there.
We're on Stitcher?
Yeah.
You know who else is on Stitcher?
I shudder to think.
I was just going to say Kevin Smith. They use Stitcher Radio for the podcast.
Colt Cabana is as well.
See? You were scared I was going to sing somewhere else.
Who knows?
You know, Kevin Smith might have wrestled a Twinkie or two.
Good gracious. We are also proudly part of the BradyHicks.com. Like I alluded to a little bit earlier, I am under strict instruction to not talk about the events.
I'm not.
I was going to say, I don't think we are, all right?
At a brawl for it all. I will not comment.
I'm not.
What you know, you know.
All I know is this Dean's a little kinky. He likes handcuffs.
I can't comment.
Well, Chris, would you like to talk about it?
You know, I hear there's a large fetish community.
Sometimes, especially when you have them in your pocket and they're waiting.
Yeah, you know, having him readily available, you know, says something about a man.
You know what? He is tougher than I ever thought. I mean, when you're going to you bust out handcuffs in the middle of all that stuff.
I know. That's
men and women fear.
It's a brave individual.
You never know. Although I heard that the person he handcuffed broke out of them the strength of 1,000 men.
Oh, please. People were searching for Sauls and...
Not me.
Certainly not you, Dan, yeah.
No, I would never ever buy something that like that. Omega, I have a story for you off air. Darn it, I forgot.
People were looking for hacksaws. Don Warren was freaking out, I'll tell you. But
Don Warren was freaking out. He also put your head almost through.
Again, I can't comment, Dan.
Talking about it.
I cannot comment on these things. Both.
How's your head feel? How's your neck feel? Everything okay?
My neck. You'll find out.
Okay.
You'll find out. But
have you been back? Have you talked to anybody about what happened?
I have not been able to discuss these matters. I did receive a package today. I did receive a package today from the board of directors from New Moon Rising Wrestling. In this package, it said I am barred from speaking about the events that I was personally involved in.
I'm glad I didn't get a package.
I was also told.
I did not mean that any other way, but straight.
I was also told that the American Roughneck would be on tonight.
Yes! All right!
He has purchased some time.
It's a good guy's show. Purchase time?
We're making money now.
We're making money now?
Someone here is
making money. That's awesome.
Someone here is making money, yeah, exactly.
And it's not you two.
Oh, you know what? You'll hear from my cousin. Oh, never mind. So you're all right? Seriously, you feel a little down this week, Dean. You okay?
No, I'm completely fine. Things are going great. Mm-hmm. I am told that there is an exclusive video. I did catch up to the production staff at New Moon Rising Wrestling. Of course, after you saw me storm out of the office.
Yes, I did. I heard a lot of blame was being pointed in your direction.
Well, of course. Like Lee Harvey Oswald, I am a patsy.
You're the patsy. Here's what happened. Handcuffed Hank Toll into the ropes. He got out, and you guys didn't win. And I say you guys because it's very clear that you're in on the take.
In on the take?
Yes!
Please, Dan.
Ugh, whatever. Everybody... Who saw it? You can back me up. I'm the good guy. You're wrong.
I did reach out to the production team at New Moon Rising Wrestling. There will be a video that is attached to the Scoop Slam, which I was not invited to.
Yes.
Barred from your own video program.
Well, I was long gone.
Well, you left. Yeah. You left. You didn't come back. And, you know, the show must go on.
Well, irregardless of whatever happened there.
Yeah.
I just have to say that, you know, things are going well here. And what you know, you know. Demand me nothing more.
Don Warren and I had a bet on if you would cry or not.
Don Warren. Now, here's a man who stands by integrity. Am I correct in this?
I believe so, yes.
Now, I am barred from speaking of my actions, but I am not barred from speaking of Don Warren's actions.
The same guy who... Never mind.
Don Warren became physically involved in the match using a chair to hit a wrestler during the match.
It was beautiful.
Whatever my fate is, his should be as well.
It was beautiful. I mean, it was the cleanest, clearest chair shot I've seen in a long time. Straight across the back. Oh, it was beautiful.
Now, after the match, Dan, I do have to say, after the match, why was Don Warren exclaiming, "We've won. I'm in control"? I'll leave
because,
you with that.
Because it was his power that was in the balance.
He's just the voice of the board. He makes it very clear. He's not a board member.
No.
He is simply the voice of the board. So why was he so emotionally attached to this?
First of all, I believe, like the conspiracy theory you're putting out of Lee Harvey Oswald, that he has more power than he lets on. But that's not that. It doesn't make him a bad guy. Somebody's got to run that place.
I think it does now. I am going to move right on. Yeah, our guest right is on the line. So without further ado, I'm going to play his theme music and get him right on. Connoisseur of Mountain Dew, it is none other than Greg Excellent. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm all right. I'd just like to point out, I think I have the most obnoxious entrance music in professional wrestling today.
I would concur with that, but it is.
It's pretty close.
You know, it charges up a crowd, I think.
Yeah, it was all meant to be a joke, and it just all snowballed. It's kind of like my whole wrestling career.
I was about to say it was hard for me to not stand up and start. All right, let's go. Yeah.
I think the guy's here. Of course, my name is Double D. You're with Dan Law and Omega Squad, Chris Green. Now, I was telling the guys that, no, you're not getting Rickrolled here. This is actually his theme music, so we have that.
That is awesome. You know what? When you started using it, I mean, did you get your balls broken a lot, or was it like, I'm going to embrace this?
Oh, absolutely not. It wasn't a rib. It was, I think I was watching like an old like pop-up video on like VH1 Classics or something stupid. And it came on there, and I was like, man, that is Rick Astley's one creepy-looking dude. And that song is catchy. I'm going to give it a whirl. So, that's just kind of how it blew up.
And of course, one of your maneuvers is called the Rickroll.
That's true.
Awesome.
That's true. It's my running corner cannonball that has been so eloquently dubbed the Rickroll. I guess that's quite fitting with the entrance music.
Now, I want to back things up here. You started out 5 years old. You were a wrestling fan. You were living with your grandparents, with your mother. And something clicked. You became a fan of professional wrestling.
Absolutely. You know what, my grandfather, I never knew my biological father. My grandfather was the man of the house, you know what I mean? So I always kind of, gravitated towards him. And I remember one night my grandmother and my mother were out. So my grandfather was in charge. And when the cat's away, the kids will play, I guess you could say. And he was watching his Saturday Night Main Event, and he let me watch it. It was the first time I ever saw Hulk Hogan. First time I saw wrestling in general. I saw Hulk Hogan, and it was just like an instant click. And I was like, all right. And I looked at him, and he was enjoying it. And then, you know, I was like, all right, well, if he likes this, I should probably like this too. And
what was... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all right. It's that's really kind of how, you know, I got the itch. And at 5 years old, and then he worked at a heavy machinery mechanic for about 40 years. So I guess it was the early part of tape trades that he had a guy he worked with who would get like old tapes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, Florida wrestling, Memphis, Midwest, stuff like that. And he would bring them home, and that's how I found out who Dusty Rhodes was, and Ric Flair, and, you know, Dusty Rhodes is probably my favorite wrestler of all time. My grandfather was always a Flair guy, so there was a little conflict in the house. But you know what? He was in charge of the house, so I didn't get to argue too much.
Do you have, I always like asking this question, do you have a specific memory that sticks in your head where you got bit by the wrestling bug, I want to do this, this is what I want to do?
I as a kid, I always wanted to be one of two things, either a pro wrestler or a Ghostbuster. And, I wasn't allowed to be a Ghostbuster. My mother said it was too dangerous. So, I took option B. The second option was, for a wrestler, I took that one. And, I don't know if it was like a defining moment as to when, I said to myself, that I wanted to be a pro wrestler, but, A lot of it kind of came to fruition, you know. I remember being in high school, and a couple friends of mine were all about, I don't know, roughly the same age, and they said, well, look, we're gonna go wrestle at Richard's house. And I'm like, what do you mean, wrestle at Richard's house? And he goes, well, he's got a basement wrestling federation, you know, he's got pads, like, with big pads, and, you know, you all have characters. And I'm like, oh, well, I want to come. And we went there once, and it was kind of like, okay, well, this is kind of fun. And I guess that was the first moment where, like, you know, getting to be a character and being kind of goofy and, you know, living what you see on television.
Right.
And, you know, that was kind of cool. So it was like, all right, I can do this. I can get on board with this.
Now, you were trained by Quinn Nash, and he was actually in your second match. Going back to when you break in, I believe it was December 19th, if I'm looking at it right.
Yep.
December 19th, 2003. Let's go back to your first match. I mean, was it passable? Was it good? A lot of guys, they really
horrible.
Crap on their first. Okay.
Horrible. Well, what's funny is I was leading the meeting at I said something at the meeting at CPW, I guess last week, that for 2 years I really didn't do anything that I enjoyed. You know, that I felt like, looking back at it now, I was like, okay, that could still stand up. Or was I, even looking back at that guy, I'm like, man, that is just not you. And maybe that's why it didn't click. It didn't really connect with the fans the way it should have. It didn't connect with myself or anything like that. So for like the first, I'd say solid two years, maybe a year, you know, just about, I was just being a guy. I was being generic babyface number two. And
okay.
It just didn't, you know, you look back on it, it's like, okay, it happened, you learn from it, you keep going. I can't say enough about Quinn Nash. I can't say enough about a guy who, you know, really, you know, took the time and energy out of his life. I mean, he has, you know, real life nonsense going on. He's got kids, he's got a wife, he's got a real job, and, you know, to be invested in training a slew of us at the time was roughly, you know, my class of six people, you know, to invest the time into us, I'll forever be grateful. He's a great guy, and a guy I'm able to call a friend now. But as for my first match now, it was, I'm forever grateful for the fact that somehow the tape has been lost. And, I won't have to ever relive it or see it or anything of that nature, but you got to start somewhere. Nobody good gets into this. Nobody you're going to interview. Nobody you're going to talk to. You know, my first match, yeah, it was a barn burner. We tore the house down. It never happened. Like, everybody's first match is a drizzling shit. They know that, but it's you got to start somewhere.
All right. So you're in the business a few years. You finally get the call to go to CZW. Now, how did that come about?
I had been doing. I mean, I've met some people who had worked for the company. I met Maven, you know, Maven a little bit, just from through some of his excuse me, some of his charitable shows.
Right.
So you get an opportunity to kind of get your feet wet, you know, and wrestle in the new Alhambra, the old ECW arena. You know, he's running a charity show, and I'm like, okay, I'm all in. Let's do this. You know, I'll drive 2.5 hours to Philly for that. Cool. You know, I need to wrestle too. Badass. Let's do this. Mm. And then, you know, just little stuff. You know, doing security and stuff like that. Just kind of getting my feet wet. Getting allocated to, you know, paying your dues for this company. You know, they don't owe me anything. They don't owe me a goddamn thing. You know, it's you know, going there and kind of getting your face known and whatnot. So I remember doing an NBA show, and I think it was on like a Thursday or a Friday, something of that nonsense. And there's a ring, and there's like two sets of bleachers set up, and there's no guardrail or anything like that. No entrance. You know, you got music. You come out through this curtain, yippee skippy, you wrestle a match. So so I'm wrestling a tag match, and there's a young lady sitting in the first row. First off, there's only like 24 people there. I know because I had time to count them. there's very, very few in the paid attendance. So I see this girl sitting there, and she's a little bit attractive and whatnot, and I go strutting over to her. This is during the match. I'm like, you know, what the hell with this? I'm on the apron. The other guy's taking heat. I don't really give a no crap. So I'm going to go, I go and sit next to her. I'm talking to her. I'm, you know, openly, you know, flirting like, you know, a guy on wrestling would flirt with a fan, you know, just kind of opening you real big. Everybody can see what's going on. And her dad leans in and goes, she's 16.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, that's it for me. And I hightail it. And, you know, the crowd pops, they laugh, and I get back on the apron, I take the hot tag, and lose the match. That's how wrestling goes. And Zandig, for some reason, was there. You know, he didn't really come to the NBA shows very often, but apparently, David comes in and goes, you know, you're the only person I've ever seen make John openly laugh.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, all right. That wasn't my goal. I was just like, oh, okay, whatever. Sweet, that's pretty awesome. So I think it was like 2 weeks later. This is a long story to get to the. 2 weeks later, Derek Frazier's wedding, and I've known Derek for a long time. So I'm invited to his wedding, and my girlfriend and I at the time, but my parents, we go to his wedding. And we walk in, we're looking for our seating, you know, where we're supposed to sit, whatnot. And we're sitting next to Zandig, his wife, and his family. And I'm like, oh, this is great. Here comes John Zandig with two beers, one in each hand, his shirt unbuttoned to his belly button. And he goes, you going to make us laugh tonight, funny man? I'm like, oh, my God. This couldn't get any more awkward. So at the time, I'm at GBW and a couple of places where I knew Derek from. I'm using I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor as my entrance music. So for some unknown reason, I'm a fat guy who likes to dance and strut and you know, do pelvic thrusts. They go to the DJ and have me put it on, and everybody's clapping. They want to get into it. They want me to dance. So I get up and I dance, and you know, I I'm a showman. So I'm doing stuff. I'm making the crowd laugh. I'm dancing with Derek's son. So meanwhile, my mother leans over to me once it's all done. And she goes, you know, that guy at the table was looking at you the whole time, really awkwardly. I was like, oh great, now John thinks I'm an idiot. All I want to do is work for this guy's company. So I'm outside making a phone call, and Zandig is getting ready to leave, and he walks by me, and he puts his hand on my shoulder and goes, I just want you to know that I like what you do, and don't be surprised if we call you.
Oh, wow.
I'm like,
wow.
All right. Thanks, man. And he just walked by his way, and then I guess about 3 weeks later, they called me and said, look, we got an opening. You know, you want to wrestle DJ Hyde, which nobody ever says yes to that question. But I did, and that was it's been all uphill, downhill, whatever you want. It's been great time.
Well, I was about to ask you when you got the call. I mean, it's CZW; they have a reputation. Zandig had a reputation. Was there any hesitation, or was it head first you diving in?
Oh no, I've been doing the NBA shows, and I've been going to shows roughly for, I guess, I don't know, 8-9 months, just trying to make a mark, make my personality known, who I was known a little bit, you know, meet people, make connections, you know.
Right.
So I it was where I wanted to be. I wasn't a fool. I knew exactly, you know, the kind of company and what their niche was, and I was
right.
very aware. And I was like, okay, well, that's not something I have a foray in. It's not something I've done before, but I'll gladly go up here and do what I do and do it well.
There was going to be more to it. When you got in there, I mean, is it okay, this is when you're starting, you're in the ring, or do they put you through any sort of quote-unquote training period, or is it just all wheels?
Once I got to CZW?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was, I had known DJ from a couple other shows, and, you know, it was, they wanted to see what I could do, which my first show there is a story in and of itself. Because it was on a Saturday. It was in January. It was opening round of NFL playoffs, and the Eagles were playing.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia against the New Orleans Saints, and I want to add this to you. This is the best part of this whole story. They showed the game on the screen and on the wall during the show.
Jesus.
I can't make this shit up. This is real life truth. This really happened. And I come out through the curtain, my music hits, I come out through the curtain, and you look directly straight, and there's the Eagles Saints game. I'm like, wow, this one just got a little more difficult.
Yeah, so, no kidding.
That's the first night there.
Now, one of the teams that you were part of was yourself and Beef Wellington. What are your thoughts, looking back in retrospect, of that tandem?
Beef Wellington's a great guy. I have nothing but fond admiration for who he is. He's a good dude. And it was weird because, like, a couple people said to me, he was like, well, you know, we're going to bring Beef back. And the whole Two Girls, One Cup thing was kind of Maven's brainchild. It was his idea to put us two together. So he comes to Cage of Death, and we're going to do this six-man tag, and he's my mystery partner. And I just thought to myself, I was like, okay, let's see how this goes. And I walked right up to him, and I said, hey, man, we have the same finish. So that means we have heat, right? And he just goes, yeah, I guess. That was who we were. And just a really good dude. I have nothing but fond memories of our whole run. Would have been nice for it to continue. I thought maybe we got the short end of it. We could have really done some more things. Could have had a lot more fun because it was really just a good time. You know, we brought creative stuff out of it.
Whipper, you still there, Greg?
I'm here.
Okay, I just heard. It sounded like someone hung up.
No, I put my phone on my ear.
Oh, okay, okay. Now, another question, because I'm trying to get us to the present in a way. What were you, I mean, how do you feel about your time in CZW up until, I guess, the Mia Yim trilogy that you got involved with?
Some good, some bad. I have, this is going to sound very egotistical, but I have taken a lot of pride in being a guy who could be handed shit and turn it into something worth selling.
Okay.
I really just said egotistic, but I'm okay with that phrase. I'm okay with that sentence. You know, when John ran the company, it was different. It was I did a match with Brody Lee, the first hardcore match ever. And went really well. And he came to me and goes, okay, whatever you want to do with the story, you know, you book it, we'll make it work. I was okay. And that's how it worked. That's how John and I operated. That, you know, if I had an idea, you know, kind of go with it, we'll make it work. And, I had the whole the junior heavyweight run. That was fun. It was enjoyable. It was something different. It was a fat guy, you know, being fat and you're wrestling cruiserweights who I could pick up easily. That's always a good time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some up and down. I mean, not everything was great by any means, but I can't complain. I really can't. I mean, I look at wrestling a lot different than most people. I look at wrestling as an extension of high school, because I don't have any, I really don't have any broad aspirations or thoughts that, you know, this is going to end up with me wrestling down in Florida or in Stanford as a, you know, employee. Mm-hmm. I treat it for what it's worth. I'm very grateful that I get to live a five-year-old's dream, you know, pretty much, you know, every weekend. You know, I'm very grateful for that fact. So, I mean, but once we got to the Mia Yim thing, that kind of, that snowballed really more than anybody thought it would, the whole Mia Yim thing.
All right, now, getting up to the Mia Yim trilogy, who came to you with that idea to get involved with that?
Well, but, I mean, this is kind of behind the curtains a little bit, but I was supposed to wrestle. Who was I supposed to wrestle? Why is the name? Dragon Gate USA. Why is his name escaping me all of a sudden? Anyway, I was supposed to wrestle some other Japanese dude.
Okay.
So that was what it was supposed to be. It was like, well, okay, really cool. I'm excited for it. Whatever. I'm all down for it. You know, it's something different for me to do, and I'm excited. And it was for Night of Infamy, and you know, Dragon Gate USA is running the day show, so I'll get to wrestle, you know, one of their guys, you know, world travel performer. Okay, cool. So we get to about 2.5-3 weeks before the show, and I get a phone call, and they said that, well, we really don't have the money for so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So we want you to wrestle me again. And I was like, okay. Well, you know, whatever's best for business. It's just how I operate, you know. You think that's what you want to do? You think it's, you know, put asses in seats or serve a purpose on the show? Okay, I'm all for it. So we get to the building, and I guess the best part of the first match was that the expectation level was extremely low.
Okay.
And you know, all I was told was just do what you can with, you know, with the match. You guys are 1 second. Meanwhile, on the day show, you know, the crowd has seen everything. You know, the Dragon Gate USA show, you know, it was a very well put together show, and the match that sticks out from that is, you know, Pac and Brody Lee. Both guys are signed now. The match is phenomenal. If you get a chance, anybody's listening, you know, go check that match out. It was a great match to watch. So I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, man, what are we going to do? The second, you know, on the second half of the day night doubleheader, the crowd's seen a whole bunch of nonsense. You know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do different? And, I went to her and I said, how do you feel about just doing everything and seeing what happens? And she said, okay. And that's like, we were lucky in the fact that, you know, it just clicked. Our chemistry was incredibly good.
Of course, this led up to the TLC match that happened at Aerial Assault last March, I believe it was. And when we had Mia Yim on, here's what she had to say. It's about 2 minutes, and then we'll be back on the other side.
Do you think, in your opinion, do you think that that match, the TLC match with Greg Excellent, elevated you to the next level, both in the fans' eyes and both with the locker room?
Absolutely. Before the TLC match, I've never done a match, like a hardcore match or a gimmick match or anything like that before. So it was definitely something new to me. And you could ask anybody, but when I was told, you know, hey, how would you feel about doing this match, and it being with Greg, I could trust my life in his hands. Like, I could put my life in his hands and I trust him. So, of course, I said, yeah, let's do it, just because it's with Greg and, you know. But I was extremely nervous about it. I got a lot of advice and tips from the boys. And Greg, I give Greg all the credit in the world. I think that it was, I did a little bit of it, but I think he did about 80 to 90% of everything in that match. He carried my ass through the whole thing, and he's so underrated. Oh, my gosh. I wish more people would know about Greg. But I really think that because of him and CCW giving me this opportunity with this TLC match, like, it definitely elevated me to the next level, because I already know that before I had this match, when it was advertised in a TLC match, a lot of people were like, I don't know if she can do it. I've never seen her do anything like this, so it's going to definitely be a challenge. Like, they were uncertain on how it was going to turn out, and then afterwards, it's like a lot of people have, they respected me a lot more, and I'm thankful for it. Like, I didn't know how well it turned out until I watched it back. So, I mean, I'm so glad that it happened, and I definitely give it credit for my name being brought out a lot more.
So that's pretty high praise coming from Mia. How do you feel about that TLC match?
Yeah, I've been wrestling for 10 years, and it's it's definitely the highlight, the one. If I had to sum up, you know, a whole, you know, whole lot of time in a wrestling ring, you know, that's the one match I'd show people. Something I'm very proud of. Something, you know, it's kind of funny. I watched today, knowing I was coming on here tonight, and I wanted to check it out again. I watched it again today, and I really do believe that something it was special. It's different. You know, you can do TLC matches, you know, to your blue in the face, but what we did was something different. We told, you know, a totally different story than anything that's ever been done. Hopefully will ever be done. I really do believe it's something that will stand the test of time. She's such a sweetheart. For somebody that kicked me in the head as hard as she has, it's just a heart of gold. just an unbelievably good person. I'm very grateful that we had those moments. We had that trilogy, you know. I keep teasing the fact, never say never. I'd love to do one more. She's an absolute gem. She's an absolutely incredibly talented performer, against guys, against girls, against, you know, you name it, she can do it. And she's just getting better. You know, she's going to have a great career. But as for that match, in it, I didn't know what was going on. You know, I got knocked out probably 6 minutes left in that match. And but watched it over again. It was something I'm very proud of. Something that hopefully one day I'll put on a best of, and somebody, one or two people might buy it. We'll see what happens.
when you're in a match that brutal and you're wrestling with a woman, are you in your head thinking, you know, you have any reservations that you're gonna hurt her really bad? Because some of those bumps she took were just insane, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm the one guy on this podcast that watches the least amount of wrestling, and I'm just watching those bumps and cringing all the time. Were you just thinking, I hope I didn't kill her?
No, absolutely not. Not once did I worry about her well-being. That's that bad to say? Not once did it cross my mind that I could really do damage to this human being, because,
hell with her.
You know, we had that rapport when we had the first match. I said, look, you know, you got to hit me, and you got to really mean it. Like, that's the only way people are going to buy this. Because if you pull up, if you're lame on some nonsense, they're just going to, you know, this is a CZW crowd. They're bloodthirsty. They're, you know, they come to the arena angry. So, you know, we got to give them something that, you know, they're going to remember. And if we're going to go the route that we took in the first match, you know, we got to make it count. And, you know, we did that. So it was kind of like the rule, like, you know, we're going to hit each other for real. We're going to hurt each other a little bit. Doesn't mean I don't like you. So, you know, if there's something you can't handle, let me know. But I'm gonna put it in there. And that's how it is. I'm in a level, my thought process is, like, I'm not seeing it as a guy and a girl out there wrestling. You know, she's a wrestler, I'm a wrestler. We're going to go out there. We're going to hit each other hard. And, you know, it's going to all translate later.
All right. Now, I asked her about that final spot, the sunset flip into the powerbomb on the table, and this is what she had to say, and we'll be back in about a minute.
Okay.
Even though he was concussed, like, I still trusted him, and he just told me to go for it, so I just went for it, and I don't know if you can really see, but when I flipped over, I basically dangled from Greg's legs. Like, I still didn't even hit the floor when I flipped over, so he made sure that, you know, once I got over, he made sure that I was there before he went. So there was a lot of scary moments in that match, and him being concussed and me being up so high was definitely the two scariest moments. Like, I can't even explain it. Like, even my parents haven't even seen the video because they know how scared I am of heights. Like, I don't...
Oh, man.
It was so scary.
Now, going into that match, did you know that she had that fear of heights?
No, that's kind of funny. It's the first I've heard of it. But what's funny is, like, I didn't really remember, like I said before, the last 6 minutes of that match. Once my head hit the concrete, you know, I was pretty well out. If you ever want to see a human being running on autopilot, you know, just watch the end of that. Just watch the end of that match.
That's
on complete instinct. And but it's like you watch it a few times, some stuff kind of comes back to you, like you're in first person again. And I remember when I got back into the ring and I looked at her, she was crying. And I'm like,
whoa.
This bitch, I'm going to have to hit her now. Like, this is, no, this ain't time for this. We ain't got no time for this. We got to go out here and we got to finish this. And I remember, again, like one of those things, you watch it a couple times, it comes back to you. I remember climbing up the ladder and looking at her, and she's got tears in her eyes and tears running her cheeks. And I'm like, just fucking hit me. Pardon my language. Just hit me. And, you know, we survived. We came out the other end.
Yeah.
That's funny. that actually makes me laugh. But I did not know she was afraid of heights. The whole time we're talking about the match, she could have brought that up.
I mean, would you have treated the matches any differently now?
Absolutely not. I would have talked her into doing it.
Oh.
I would have definitely talked her into doing it. But I mean, I'm glad she had that, you know, and it's vice versa, you know, that level of trust with one another, you know, is important, especially when you're in the high stakes land of CZW and you're doing something like a TLC match or anything where you're putting, you know, your life in someone else's hands. And that was, I'm glad she has that trust, and I certainly, you know, have that level of trust with her.
Now, I personally, and I guess the three of us, we really like, the matches are fantastic. Has anyone given you any crap about having a series of matches with me, or has it all been positive feedback?
You know what, actually a friend of mine who his nickname is Grumpy, so you really can't fault him for this. But, he said, yeah, you know, you had three matches with a girl, that's cool, you know, it's stupid to kill the business. I'm like, really? Okay. I said, have you seen them yet? He goes, no. I'm like, all right then. Well, when you watch them, you know, hey, let me know. And he never said a word after that. This was probably 6-8 months ago, and I guess it would be logical of me to ask him, you know, hey, have you watched that match yet? But not really. I mean, nobody really had anything to say. As far as, you know, you wrestled a girl three times or, you know, you did too much or anything like that, you know. And once we had that first match, it was all kind of, you know, like I said, it all snowballed. Everything was okay. Everything was, you know, as far as a logic standpoint, you know, should we have done some of the stuff we did? Probably not. But, you know, we came out looking great in the end of it.
Now, at Cage of Death, you wrestled with your mother.
How often is that?
That's a
sentence that only one person in this world can say. I tagged with my mom, my real life shoot mother, in a match. Me and Buff Bagwell. There's two people that can say that.
I was gonna say it was better than Mrs. Bagwell.
No, it really was. It was better than Judy Bagwell. She, what went into the training to get your mom in the ring? Was there a lot of training, or what happened there?
A lot of convincing and promising that I'll take her to a nice dinner. Yes. It wasn't really a whole lot. My mom's been around wrestling just as long as I have. I mean, around it in the fashion that, you know, she's always been there for me as far as my wrestling aspirations have been. And you know, it's one of those things where, you know, the first Cage of Death that we were going to go do, and I said to her, I was like, look, there's going to be like 1,000 people here, and they're going to be all excited. So, do you want to do this? And yeah, it's one of those things you kind of talk her into it because she gets excited about the big crowd idea. And, you know, I wouldn't say she's formally trained, but we walked her through some steps of what we needed her to do. And
yeah.
she, you know, I got my charisma from somewhere. I mean, my mother's a, she's a people person, so she had a blast.
That's great. Now,
that's amazing, yeah.
Now, at the end of the match, Colt Cabana comes in. and wanted to do some things to your mother that aren't really that nice. Or they could be nice. I don't know.
No, and I take exception to that. You know, my mother is a wonderful lady, and she deserves respect and adoration from people, but she does not deserve that sexual talk that Dreidel Spinner Cole Cabana had to lay on her. And I don't appreciate it, and I'm not going to have it. And at WrestleCon, I'm going to deal with it. You know, it's that finally this match is going to happen. You know, I've wrestled for, you know, probably 3 to 4 other promotions that have told me, oh, we want to do you in Cabana. Okay. And it's never happened. And, you know, it took a couple of years to get there, but we, you know, we're going to be there, we're going to go do WrestleCon, and we're going to, you know, try to kill the business in another way, like, you know, only I can.
And I don't know, you have some trouble with women, apparently. Chrissy Rivera, you're going to be engaged in a hardcore, an ultra-violent food fight.
Ultra-violent food fight, absolutely.
No,
I like to do stuff that nobody else has done. I figure, you know, this little short girl wants to wrestle. She wants to talk a lot of nonsense on Twitter. That, you know, I've wrestled pretty much every other girl in the company. I might as well just add another one to the list. And, you know, only in a company like CZW, you know, like nothing else, can you see an ultra-violent food fight. You know, we're going to take cupcakes and we're going to add tacks. We're going to take, you know, we're going to take fun-loving, tasty things and we're going to wrap them in barbed wire. That's how we get down. Yeah, it's going to be,
I didn't realize that it was going to be that ultra-violent of a food fight.
Oh, it's going to get real. It's going to be...
That sounds kind of hot to me.
I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, things turn a certain way. I mean, it could go from 6 to midnight as far as I'm concerned. You know, I'm just
hell
saying,
yeah.
You know.
Make sure the cameras are rolling.
I got to get paid somehow. That's all I got to say.
Now, that, of course, is coming up February 9th. That's WSU and CZW are actually having a doubleheader. It's CZW's 14th anniversary. It's WSU's An Ultra-Violent Affair. And that's going to be in Voorhees at the Flyers Skate Zone. So definitely check that out. It's a doubleheader. Starts at 4 o'clock. CZW, of course, starts at 7:30. Now, Greg, you're also part of a wrestling promotion. Care to tell us anything about that?
When I broke in, started a wrestling promotion called GBW, based out of Hanover, Pennsylvania. It's a little bit southern, about 2 hours south of Philadelphia. It's wrestling the way I see it. You know, I'm a fun-loving guy. I like to have different things. You know, we do the guy-girl matches. We do the, you know, the fun-loving moments. We have, you know, just guys. I only work with guys that I like there. You know, guys that I consider friends who, you know, who I really enjoy their work and how they work. You know, I say, hey, why don't you come and we'll hang out here. You know, we'll have a wrestling show. And that's how I treat it. You know, we're gonna hang out and have a wrestling show. Things are a lot easier then.
Okay.
Before you go, I just want to say Mia Yim said hello to my big hairy teddy bear.
Oh, that little chap. Anyway. You gladly tell her that I say hello back. Every time I try and text her, she doesn't answer me anyway. So, you know, she's big leaguing us. That's all she's doing. She's trying to save face right now. That's all she's doing. She wants you to believe she's saying hello. Really, she's talking to somebody much more important. No, she is. I'll trust her.
Ignoring him. I got it. Message sent.
All right. So, Greg, where can the people follow you if they want to follow your career and get in on the action of... Greg, excellent. As you destroy the business, as you say.
That's kind of like my saying. You know, I'm gonna try to kill the business one day at a time. And you can follow me on Twitter at Greg Excellent. You can check out my website at gregexcellent.com for all your bearded hairy back needs. You know, we put fun stuff up there every once in a while, and my schedule's on there. You know, obviously, you know, February 9th, I'll be. I'm back in Voorhees doing some ultra-violent food fight nonsense. February 16th, I'll be in Hanover at GBW in a, you know, big cage match, and that's their 9-year anniversary. So, you know, we're gonna have a good time. And I guess it's the best ways right there is the Twitter, the website. You know, you check me out, and if you see me at a show, you know, come say hi, bring a soda, we'll have some good time.
All right, Greg, I do want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to, you know, come on and talk with us.
I'd very much appreciate it.
And I'd also like to extend the invitation right now for you to come back whenever you want.
Oh, definitely, man. You know, scheduling permitting, I'll definitely be back on, and I really appreciate it. Had a good time.
All right. Greg, you have a great night, and thank you again.
You the same. Thanks, guys.
Back, and what an excellent interview, Dan.
Well, yeah, you know what? That is one of those guys where you've heard a lot about, and once you get talked to him, it's like, we're brother from another mother.
Where have you been all my life?
He really is. I have a short story to tell. Brady and I were at the Skate Zone. I believe it was way back, probably in September. There was one performer, I'm not naming names, he was laying in a puddle. The cops were there speaking to him, and we were trying to find Ryan in the parking lot. So we pulled up next to a car.
How can you not find him?
Well, he was in his car, that's why. So we pulled up next to a car, and it was Greg Excellent. So I rolled down the window, and so did he. We're like, oh, we're sorry, sir. Didn't realize we were bugging you. But just the look on his face was like, who the hell are these guys, and why are they coming? Because we circled them like 3 or 4 times.
Right, they're going to hit. I'm getting shot. This is the moment that they always tell me about. This is it.
Yeah, right. This is training day. I'm Denzel. I'm stuck.
Dino in the toll booth.
It really was. Now, guys, I do have a caller, so let's see what we got here. Okay, so here we go. Caller. I believe I know who this is. Is this Ron Starr?
Who do you think you are, Dean Dixon?
Give us shit, Ron Starr.
Who do you think you are?
Who do I think I am?
What are you trying to prove?
What am I trying to prove? What are you trying to prove?
Look, I know who I am. I know where I am.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
I know who I am. I know what I am. And I know I'm not what you're trying to say that I am.
Well, why don't we take a step back here? Because, you know, I was kind of hoping you would call in tonight, so I prepared something. Let's take it back.
While on the road in Philadelphia, working for the infamous GWA, did you, by any chance, meet a woman by the name of Teresa Smith?
Teresa? Yeah. Yeah, I do remember Teresa Smith. Wow, why
yeah.
Was
yeah, she's my mother.
Hello? What was that?
Don't know. So how do you respond to that, Ron? I mean, come on. Come on, dude.
It was the 90s, and she hung around wrestlers. I'm not the only dude that she got from you. Are you serious?
Well,
really?
Well, then, why don't you submit yourself to a paternity test like I asked you and you ignored?
It's not for me to prove to you. You know, I have a family. I have a responsibility, and you're going to throw this at me?
I'm throwing this at you.
17, 18 years old? Yeah, I think I know who this kid is. He's been under my nose all this time, and now you're throwing this on me? You're going to spring this on me like that? Really?
Yeah, really. Because did you reach out to young Ozzy? I gave you the phone number. Did you reach out to him? He told me you didn't.
listen, I don't know what you're trying to discredit my name for. Whatever. I've been nothing but kind to you, to this radio show, and now you're trying to besmirch my name. I have a reputation, and this is what you find. You know what? You know what? If it's that important to you and to the young Mr. Yes, 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 I will take the DNA test to prove to you once and for all I know who I am and I know that I'm not what you say that I am.
Okay, so you will submit to this test this coming Saturday?
Fine.
This coming Saturday at DWA?
This coming Saturday, I'll take the test, yes.
Legends, a matter of respect, total respect.
Yeah, a matter of respect, Dean.
You're going to submit to this paternity test.
I will submit to a DNA test to prove that I'm not this boy's father.
Okay. Would you mind if I happen to bring this young boy who hasn't seen his father in all these years?
Don't be funny, because you know he's seen me. You know he knows exactly who I am. Don't try to be smug with me, Dean Dixon. You know I know who this is. You know I know who this kid is. Don't try to be smug with me. You know, if I didn't know any better, I swear if I didn't know any better, Dean Dixon, I swear if I didn't know any better, I think you have something to do with this whole thing.
Oh, I have something to do with it. Come on now, Ron. I have a reputation.
I know you're the dean of credibility. You want to get, this is all about ratings. This is about your stupid show and getting people to listen. Trying to stretch my name out there. Trying to stretch, have me hanging out in the wind. Throwing me under the bus of truth. Are you serious? You're going to do this to me? Do you know who I am? I'm the one and only. I'm a legend.
You're
a
man
legend.
Who turned
you're
his back.
To me?
Listen, you're a man who turned his back on Tyrena. That's what you did.
Listen.
You're a man who kidnapped Sienna Duvall.
Some things are personal and some things are business. Tyrena, Sienna Duvall, the Empire itself, it's all business. And speaking of business, I'm going to take care of business on the 26th. I'm going to submit to your stupid little DNA test, and then I'm going to take care of Carnage. You know what? I'm going to think about you as I'm bashing his face in. You know why? Because he got lucky to get by me with the draw the last time. But I'm not taking him lightly this time. I'm
Fair
not
enough.
Taking anyone lightly this time. And
Fair enough. Don't take me lightly either.
And after this DNA test is done, Dean Dixon, I'm going to come back on your show. Maybe I'll, you know, I know what this is about. You're upset because you and the Me Society weren't successful on Saturday.
Oh.
Hey, everybody can't do what I've done. Everybody cannot successfully lead a group. Everybody cannot do the things that I do. I'm a legend for a reason, Dean Dixon.
And like legend I said, in your own mind, Ron. Come on.
When you read those results and it says, I am not the father, I'm going to come on your set, I'm going to dance, I'm going to tell you, you can't rev on my cage. And you know what? I might do something to you, Dean Dixon, just for the aggravation.
Ooh. You know what, Ron? I had enough of you. I'm not even going to wish you a good night. I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
For this paternity test.
Yeah, hang up on us.
That's it. He's gone.
Why did you hang up on him?
The disrespect.
Oh, we got on a podcast and an episode of Maury broke out. What's up
with
that?
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, not only that, he said he was going to submit to the paternity test.
He is right, though. The Me Society did lose this weekend.
I'm not talking about that, Dan. I am talking about a paternity test that he agreed to. It will happen at DWF.
And where is that?
That is in Feasterville, Pennsylvania, at the Sportsplex. And my goodness, it's going to happen. We're going to get to the bottom of this issue. And let's just say, if you saw Ron Starr, if you saw this young man, there's no doubt. You don't even need a paternity test.
You know what? I did see him kidnapping somebody this weekend. That's a very good point there.
I know.
I think, Dean, I think you might be right on this one. Who would attack and kidnap Sienna Duvall like that? I would never.
Well, I certainly wouldn't either, but what happened to Sienna? Where is she?
I don't know. Well, why you had him on the phone. Why didn't you get him on to tell us?
Well, I brought
what
it up
if
to his attention.
She's in danger.
She could be. Who knows?
Oh, she could be.
Who knows, Dan? I'm flustered of these people in the business. They have these things to prove. People look up to them, Dan. And then you have a guy like Ron Starr going out, sowing his wild oats. We're getting to the bottom of this. We're talking of, he's ruined Teresa Smith's life. That's right, I'm going to say her name. Teresa Smith, her life has been ruined as she sees this guy going around the country, touring the country, and for what? What has she seen out of it? What has that young man seen? Whatever. You guys got nothing, right?
No, I don't think you're right, period.
Why don't you think I'm right?
You have no proof. You have to
and
wait
then another
until
thing.
The, and then you have to wait until the test comes out and then go, okay, you're a baby daddy.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, these things do take time. Maybe
I was
by
say,
the
it takes
next,
like months.
Maybe by the next BWF show we'll have an answer. Who
Especially
knows?
Especially if you have the slow version of the test kit like Maury does.
Well, that's true. That's true. But we're going to get to the bottom of it, and I can't wait. He is going to receive this. It's going to be signed. He's going to have to go to the men's room, if you know what I'm saying.
Aren't you a little bit worried about the retribution that several people might take upon you eventually?
Look, he's the one and only. He's on his own. There's no empire anymore, my friend.
Wait, there's one and only, but you've also angered, you know, a big man in Tank Toland. Don't say what you're going to say.
Look, Tank Toland is a dummy. Okay, that's number one.
Is Ron
now, here's the thing. I'm not saying Ron's a dummy. Ron, I actually at one point respected. And here's another thing that you guys don't know. I can remember the very first time that I heard Tank Toland was coming to New Moon Rising Wrestling. I can remember that quite well. It was on an edition of fan mail on YouTube from Robert Knight.
Good guy, by the way.
Now, when I heard that, I was very excited. Now, a lot of people don't know this. I was a big Tank Toland fan back in Ring of Honor days. I was looking forward to the opportunity of actually perhaps meeting Tank Toland.
You met him.
That opportunity. You know what they say when you meet a man for the first time that you admire? A lot of times they turn out to be a jerk. And that's what Tank Toland was. He shunned me. Here's the thing about Tank Toland. I grew up watching this guy on SmackDown.
Grew up?
Shunned me. Shunned me.
That's you were a grown man when he was on SmackDown.
No, I was grown up. He's much older than I am. And much more stupid.
Oh, hashtag will shoot.
Tired of it.
All right, well, I'm just saying. The man broke out of handcuffs.
The man did not break out of handcuffs. The man had
Talking
Don Warren, his good old buddy Don Warren. Here's the thing.
Tell us the thing, Dean.
Here's the thing, Dean.
Tank doesn't know what
his
he gets himself into.
His name is Tank, you know.
John doesn't know what he got himself into. If he thought the breakup with Jillian was a bad thing, here comes another, because I'm tired of it. Now I'm contractually obligated to bring on the next guy.
Thank God. A little bit of semblance going on here, a little bit of order.
Well, you get a guy coming on here yelling at me, trying to make a big...
You started it!
I didn't start it. There.
You. Oh, all right.
Anyway, here comes the American Fat Nick after his music. For a completely generic wrestler. Welcome to the show, Roughneck.
What do you mean, generic wrestler?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. I mean, he won this weekend. How'd your guys do?
You look like that strong man at a circus. Why don't you carry a pair of dumbbells that are circular to the ring next time?
It looks like your pair of dumbbells got circulated around this ring.
Oh, good one from Roughneck. Wow. That was good.
No, go ahead, man. I don't have anything to say to this guy.
Roughneck, how's it feel to get a match under your belt after the New Moon Rising Wrestling return and get a full match and win the match.
You know, it felt really good, even though Robert Knight again sent somebody out from behind me to sneak me. I'm not having that anymore.
No.
It's not going to happen. I'm done with that game. I'm not playing it. Anybody gets in my path on my way to Robert Knight or Glenn Storms, I'm going to pick them off one by friggin' one.
Well, what do you make of this Beverly guy? I used the word guy lightly.
Barbie's play toy? I'm not worried about that guy. He's tall. He's got blonde hair, little Nordic thing going on. But that's it. I've seen nothing. He didn't step to the rough deck. I can't help him. He's already drinking the Kool-Aid.
Well, what do you... I mean, rough neck... Robert's suspended. I mean, who are you going to concentrate on next?
I'm concentrating on getting Robert back in that ring. I've called Don Warren many a times. He's not answering my calls. I want Glenn Storms or I want Robert Knight. That's who my sights are set on, and they better bring him back. Because like I've said earlier today on Facebook, whether it's in a sanctioned match or I got to get my hands on him some other way, they're going to pay for what they did. This isn't over. They almost took my head off with a friggin' bat.
I don't know if you can hear it or not, but Dean is very rudely playing the Jeopardy theme underneath you.
You know what? That's fine because the coward over there is hiding from his former friends. So let the coward hide under his table before he gets thrown through one.
Did you see him get thrown out of that office on Sunday? What that?
Oh, my God. Do you know what? There should have been a caption right below Dean Dixon that was like, me, me.
Hey, that sounds like a caption contest for the website. That's just...
I think you should. Caption contest for the website.
And the winner gets tickets to the next show.
Dude, if he wasn't the best Skechers commercial I've ever freaking seen, he should be a spokesman. Look how fast I can go.
You wouldn't expect that type of stamina out of a guy who smokes like I do, huh?
Oh, my God, dude. It was like the only cloud of smoke I saw was the dust kicking up.
Listen,
and there's a lot of dust in that place.
Listen, you win one match, and suddenly you're Lou Fez. I mean, come on.
Listen, I've been this way through the whole thing, whether I've been double-teamed, beaten with a chair, beaten with an oxygen bottle, beaten with a ring belt, stabbed in the head with a fork. It does not matter. You're not stopping me. I'm coming back. I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better, and I'm going to destroy anybody that gets in my way.
Oh, Roughneck. So what's next on your table or whatever? I don't care.
I'm sure you don't. You're over. Hey, Dan, do you hear that?
Yeah, it sounds like somebody's bored.
No, it sounds like I hear somebody's knees knocking over there. Because Jake Bishop might be coming for him. Look, I've been on the wrong end of the Knee Society beatings, and I did absolutely nothing. I can't imagine what you're in for, brother.
What's the matter, Dean?
Look, he's on. I don't want him here. Basically, New Moon Rising Wrestling is forcing me to talk to the family.
Let's talk about that for a second. While we got Roughneck on, and he wasn't part of the main event, but you know he's part of the situation. He said he's trying to call Don Warren. Does Don Warren have more power in the company than we know, or is he really just the face of the board?
As far as I
know, he's the face of the board. I've never met this board. I can never. Every time I go in the office, the little secretary lady, she's like, "You got to wait outside, Don Warren will be out to talk to you." That's all I ever get. I've never seen any of these people. I would love to see them because I want these two unsuspended.
Why would you want to sign your own death warrant?
I guess you would know something about that, wouldn't you? Listen, it's not my own death warrant because not one of these people has ever beaten me by themselves. Justin America brought in LJ Cruz. Robert's bringing in Super Blondie and friggin' Batboy. It doesn't matter.
No, go ahead,
Rob. You do know those fingers can be broken, Dean, right?
Let me ask you a question. You got people like the Meat Society running around now with their heads cut off like chickens. You want to see about going after one of them?
Oh, actually, I would love to get my hands back on that Justin America clown. He may have changed his looks, but he hasn't changed his spots.
I got nothing.
Look.
Will you shut the music
up? If Justin America were to get his hands on you again, look, it'd just be one shot. Well, actually, two shots. He'd punch you right in the mouth, and then you would do what you do best, fall right to the mat.
Listen, Justin America has never, ever, ever beat me by himself.
What are you talking about? May of last year defeated you fair and square. 1, 2, 3.
What match were you at? Would you like to pull up footage?
Does the footage exist?
I was going to say, did anybody film that footage?
I'm not quite sure on that one, but we're going to go with it.
It was one camera, and he just sat there.
That picked me a skin. I don't know.
I got nothing. I can't concentrate with that stuff playing.
Yeah, that music is annoying.
It's not annoying. Not at all. That's how I feel.
Well, Roughneck, what about getting a title shot?
No, that's not what the Roughneck's after. I'm for the people. I'm not for gold. I'm not for titles. I'm there to do what the people want. And right now, according to the people on Facebook, like Jen Knight and all her friends, they want blood and they want Robert Knight and they want Glenn Storms.
They want Glenn Storms. Who wants Glenn Storms? Nobody in the company wants Glenn Storms.
I wouldn't mind seeing Glenn Storms get beat up badly.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Has anybody beat Roughneck by themselves? I don't think they have.
No, they have.
What are you talking about? Nigerian Nightmare.
It's been just in half the locker room. Look, one Nigerian Nightmare technically counts as not by himself. Trust me. Yeah. That's landed on me.
I guess you would know three broken ribs later.
Hey, you have to agree with her on that one.
You know what? There was two of them, one of me, but they did beat me. And I have to feel that. But it was a tag team match where Justin America walked away to the locker room because he was scared.
He does that a lot, walks away to the locker room.
Everybody walks away to the locker room, Dan.
No, but he does a lot of it. Not during the match. Where have you been the last couple of months? Aren't you announced stuff?
Drinking the Mean Society Kool-Aid. It's kind of delusional.
Delusional? What are you talking about, Fat Neck? Come on. Let's have a little integrity here.
Integrity? Is that the name of your new sneakers?
That doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Roughneck's funny this week. I don't know how I feel, Dean. I mean, you're our partner in the show and everything. You're the boss, but I think you're making some mistakes the last couple of months, Dean.
I haven't made any such mistakes.
No
handcuffs. Look, you just stay away from me, Roughneck. You and your best friend, apparently, Harold Boyer, are trying to, I don't know, corner me or something. Just stop.
Listen,
Handsome Harold, no more.
That is Mr. Boyer to you. Mr. Boyer
Handsome
is
Harold,
a very
yes.
good friend.
Go ahead.
Now, I'm not really
What does Handsome
happy
Harold want to tell me? What?
I am
Handsome
not
Harold?
Real happy or comfortable calling people friends nowadays because they tend to turn on me. But I can always count that Mr. Boyer will be in my corner.
Why does a man not want to be called handsome? I don't understand his reasoning behind that.
You know, maybe something we're not meant to understand.
I guess not.
I guess not. That's the name of our episode this week.
No, but
because Mr. Boyer is a handsome gentleman, he just does not prefer to be called that. I guess he does not like stating the obvious.
Stating the obvious. Stating the obvious would be that this has probably been one of the most painful interviews I've ever had to sit through.
This one?
You're up against. Great.
Hold on. Let me call Rat Boy.
You better not have his number. And don't get Dan started, because I don't know who's more annoying, Dan or Rat Boy.
Drugs, actually, the worst thing that can happen is Mighty Mouse calling in, that Harry Barnett dude. Yes, Mr. Barnett, Mighty Mouse, I am mentioning you. For when you get this in London, you can call me tomorrow and complain that I called you Mighty Mouse. There's your shout-out. You told me not to do it. Guess what, brother? What up, Mighty Mouse?
You know, people all around the world, Roughneck, Fatneck, don't like you.
That's good. That's okay. I'm okay with that.
You're okay with that?
Because they're usually
Mean
Society fans.
Hey, dude, I like him a lot.
That people across the pond don't like you.
There is a person across the pond that doesn't like me. He keeps blaming me for things that didn't happen. I don't know what's wrong with him.
I'm not touching.
True or false? You hired a man to hit Harry Barnett on his daily walk.
That is false.
True or false, you took out Robert and took over his segment 1 week.
Robert couldn't let be there, and I had to use his phone.
Gotcha. That's what I thought. See? Man of integrity, Dean.
True
he was
or
tied,
false?
He was tied up that night.
True or false, the first time we had Matt Tremont on, you hijacked our radio signal. Well, our internet signal.
No, that's Comcast.
Yeah, that wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Man, Comcast does that a lot.
Hey, you're over the cap.
I'm very upset, Roughneck. I didn't want you on.
But I'm glad we had him. It was a good segment.
I still don't want
you on. Well, like I said the other day, why don't we get rid of Dean and Dan, me and you will have a show. And like I said, we can call it Roughneck Law Radio.
There you go. I like
Roughneck
it.
Law.
In fact,
don't
I think
tell
we're going to start that.
Don't tell me you're working on bringing in another Roughneck.
No.
Well, yeah, there's always... Who, me?
Yeah
you.
There's two you, sir. What do we got going on here?
You just
have proven yourself to be one of the biggest dummies on the New Moon Rising Wrestling.
You didn't make any sense. Me?
You make no sense.
I asked if you were bringing in another Roughneck.
No, it's me.
I will be bringing in another Roughneck. There will be Roughneck Nation coming to New Moon Rising Wrestling eventually.
Good Lord.
I like that.
Fucking bullshit!
Dean, don't be such a sourpuss.
Look, we gave him his 15 minutes of fame, Roughneck. Have a good night. Actually,
hey, Dan, you enjoy yourself. I would not.
Bye.
Oh, thank you, Roughneck, even though you got hung up on. Hey, look at me. I got the phone number. I can press the button.
That's it. We gave him his 15 minutes. That's all we had.
At least play his music one more time.
You win his music.
Yeah, and then promotional consideration.
Where is it? It's under Fatneck.
Probably under Roughneck.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room on WEXP 1600 AM in Philadelphia and BradyHicks.com. Like what you hear? Be sure to check out all the other great content available on BradyHicks.com. In the Room, Between the Ropes, JV Mail, Hell in a Cell Radio, Titus Machiavelli, The Papa Don Show, What's Wrong with Wrestling, The Book Club, Saturday Night Akbaz, The Extreme Odd Couple with Steve Carino on Rob Dimension, The O Show, The Fish Tank with Bobby Fish, and Dimple Date, The Day Dating and Relationship Show at thebradyhicks.com. Great video content. This Week in Wrestling. stepping out with Sassy Stephanie, WSU and ECWA TV, Completely Damaged, Wrestling Reflections with Darren Corbin, and so much more. Check it out.
To get in the cell, call in at 718-664-9133. Again, that is 718-664-9133.
Why are you so angry?
Check out the new website at HIACtalkradio.com. Subscribe on iTunes and follow the Revolution in Wrestling Podcast.
Why are you so angry, Dean?
Angry?
Meh.
I'm apathetic.
Apathetic?
Apathy is the
solution. I'm
going to
go with Surly. Can we go with Surly?
Surly, yeah. Longer.
Not angry at all.
Nah, you don't sound
belligerent.
Belligerent? You know, I can go with belligerent. I like that. Belligerent.
Belligerent. The deed of belligerent.
Now, Omega Squad, you know what time it is, don't you?
Time for generic rock thrash music?
Yes. So, Omega Squad, last weekend, of course, on Saturday, Michael Bisping, a man that we touted his successes, we said it was his time to put it all together, knocked out second round.
Yes, he was. He was head kicked into oblivion, if you will. He did not do well. He just could not get anything going against Vitor Belfort, who looked fantastic. You know, we you and I talked about it last week. We said he's past his prime, hasn't really seemed like the same guy. But we also said, hey, this is still the same guy that almost caught John Jones, and that guy showed up.
And there you go. So what happens to the middleweight division at this point?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. You know, there's Chris Weidman. He's a potential candidate. You know, does this potentially – I mean, Anderson kind of said he wanted to sit out most of 2013. Does it potentially set up a John Jones-Anderson Silva fight down the road? You know, presumably, you know, let's presume with a fairly decent degree of certainty that John Jones is going to get past Chael Sonnen. You know, who's next for John Jones? And everybody wants to see that fight, Anderson Silva versus John Jones. Whether it'll happen or not, I don't know, but that's a possibility. You know, Anderson could probably move up to 205 and fight somebody. Rashad Evans thought he might be able to take him. So, you know, maybe you make that fight for a freak show thing. I would rather see him fight someone like Chris Weidman or something like that, but an actual legitimate middleweight contender. I don't think Vitor's always in the conversation as a potential title contender somewhere. In the top 10 in the middleweights. I don't think he's there yet. He needs to probably win one or two more if and prove that he's actually coming back before he gets a shot at Anderson.
Yeah, I agree. What else happened to Omega? I don't have that particular information up.
Well, there was the other main card fights. The co-main event was CB Dalloway getting a narrow victory over Daniel Serafian.
Serafian, get it right.
Serafian, yeah. Sorry, dang Brazilian names. If everyone in Brazil was named Silva, I'd be fine.
or Smith.
Yeah, but yeah, CB Dalloway actually did manage to squeak out a split decision victory. It was fight of the night. It was a fairly close fight. But Serafian was winning most of that fight up until about the second round when CB Dalloway managed to counter. And managed to take Serafian down and start pounding away. And then there was a very competitive third round. It was very close. I could have seen it going either way. Someone was going to be upset either way. CB Dalloway, you know, was it an impressive victory? No, but it was a very competitive fight. I thought, I don't know that either that it really elevates Dalloway. I think Serafine put on a good enough performance that's gonna continue on. In the Gabriel Gonzaga, did end up defeating Ben Rothwell in the
submission,
second round,
right?
via arm in guillotine. It was Gonzaga looked pretty good. It was more that Rothwell kind of was a very sloppy takedown defense that allowed Gonzaga to get the arm in guillotine as opposed to any kind of setup from Gonzaga. But it was pretty impressive that Gonzaga was able to finish an arm in guillotine against a strong guy like Rothwell. Rothwell did try to stay in it for as long as he could, but eventually he had to tap. It was good win for Gonzaga. I don't think it puts him in the talking for a title shot anytime soon. But throw him up against someone in the upper mid card, maybe a Roy Nelson or someone like that.
How about Daniel Cormier?
Wouldn't be a bad fight for Cormier coming in. That wouldn't be a bad one.
If he wins, go to Frank Mir like he wants.
Yeah, I think he's going to get Mir, though.
Well, yeah, he already had Mir, so why not, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be Mir, but, that's either way. But Mir, if someone gets injured and Mir gets injured again, I could see throwing Gonzaga in there. And then our favorite guy whose name I can't pronounce, Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Wow, you're racist. Habib Smith.
he's not racist. That's his name.
why
are you calling me? No.
I'm sorry. Chris, disclaimer, Chris is not a racist. He hates everyone.
I hate everyone, exactly. He went to 19-0 in impressive fashion, basically destroyed Thiago Tavares. Just strikes, one devastating uppercut, and some really nasty, nasty elbows, the ref didn't step in soon enough. Tavares took way too much damage, but Nurmagomedov looked awesome, in that fight. I mean, moving to 19-0, I would love to see him take another step up here and see where he goes from here. I'm not sure what his next fight will be. But it was a good fight. I think the card overall kind of underwhelmed. The prelims were nothing really to write home about. Edson Barboza actually got a submission via strikes, which is kind of impressive. He continues to roll on.
How does that happen? Like a tap out on that?
He tapped.
Wow.
You can tap the strikes, or verbal quit.
You don't see that too often, though.
You do not see it very often. Most of the time, you're either going to get a guy who's going to get the ref's going to pull him off, or he's knocked out. That's usually what happens. But I have seen it on occasion where a guy actually does say, "I'm done," and he was done. Barboza looked great once again. He's come back from the stumble against Jamie Varner. We'll see where he goes from here. He's a guy who's always capable of highlight reel KOs. It was a shame that he was buried on the preliminary card, but since it was on TV, I guess it's not so bad. But he's always a good guy for some spectacular striking.
All right, and what else happened? There was this weekend. I'm sorry, my mind's kind of out of it. What happened this weekend? Now,
what happened this weekend? I don't know.
Oh,
I'm like crystal ball.
I can't even talk about it. But this weekend, UFC on Fox returns. It's Johnson versus Dodson, and there's some interesting fights before we get, of course, to that flyweight bout. Rampage Jackson, he might be done.
Yeah, he might be done in more ways than one on Saturday. I mean, he faces a really powerful striker in Glover Teixeira, a guy that's good on the ground, really good on the feet. He's a very, very talented light heavyweight, a guy that I see going places, getting a title shot eventually. Quinton Jackson, we know he's a good fighter when he's motivated and when he has his head in the game. The question is, knowing this is probably his last fight in the UFC, is his head in the game?
Here's a quote, Omega. He was actually, in an interview, he was quoted as saying, "I'll fight anybody to get this last fight out of the way. I can't wait to leave the UFC and have nothing to do with them anymore."
Yeah.
That sounds pretty dry to me.
Well, I mean, that tells you he wants out of the UFC, but does that mean he wants to go out with a win? He doesn't care if he goes out with a win or a loss? I mean, you know, the question becomes, you know, is he truly a fighter? If he comes out in this last fight on the UFC, in my opinion, if he comes out and just coasts and tries to, you know, doesn't have his head in the game, didn't train, all that stuff we saw in the Bader fight where he got stomped, you know, I kind of lose respect to him. At that point, I'm kind of done with Rampage. I don't think I want to see him again. Is his reputation enough to get him motivated to try, at least try? I mean, if you go out and get beat and you at least tried, I'm okay with that. But especially against a guy like Glover Teixeira. But, I mean, if you're just going to kind of show up and get a paycheck, no thanks. I got plenty of other guys I can watch.
So we also, of course, have Anthony Pettis taking on Donald Cerrone, and I know you're a big fan of Cerrone's work.
I'm a big fan of Cerrone. I'm a big fan of Pettis. This is a great fight on paper. These are two very evenly matched guys, very talented lightweights. Either one of these guys could fight for a title tomorrow. Pettis is obviously, he's a dynamic striker, the Showtime kick in WEC, the head kick defeat in his last fight, head kick win over Joe Lozon. Great guy who can do a lot on his feet, quick and powerful. Also very good on the ground. Cerrone is another guy, well-rounded kickboxer. He's really good on the ground with his submissions, got some great flexibility and ability to just throw up attacks that can catch a guy if you're not paying attention. But he's also very, very durable, very guy that can take punishment. Neither of these guys.
Durable?
Durable.
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 Sorry. I got worried there for a second.
No, he's durable. All right,
cool. All right.
the question comes down to where is this fight gonna go? I tend to think it's going to end up on the feet. The question becomes, does Pettis, with his flash, does he have enough power to take down Cerrone? Cerrone fought Nate Diaz and took a lot of shots all night. Now, I'm not going to go saying that Diaz has great power. I would think Pettis does have better power than Diaz, but, you know, we know that Cerrone's a tough guy to put down. We'll see. Cerrone, with his kickboxing background, could very well knock out Pettis, but I think I'm going to go with Pettis eking out a decision in this one.
All right. Now, of course, the main event is Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson, the flyweight champion, taking on John Dodson. Of course, I'm thinking this is going to be a very fast-paced bout. Where do you see it going?
You know, these are two guys that, since they've moved back to flyweight, which is a natural weight class for both of them, have just been on a tear and ever improving. Demetrius Johnson, in every fight we see him at flyweight, he had the first fight with where he had a draw with Ian McCall. The next fight, he just outpointed McCall, just basically managed to take him down and be able to really, really control that fight start to finish. His last fight for the flyweight title versus Joseph Benavidez, he looked fantastic. Well able to handle Benavidez's footwork and his speed. You know, Johnson is probably the fastest, probably in terms of speed, he's the guy with the fastest hands, fastest all around. Dodson is no slouch. He's probably the better striker. But, you know, and he's won a lot by being just a fast guy. But, you know, Demetrius Johnson, every time I watch him, he's getting better. I fully expect Dodson to be on the aggressive side, being able to counter and being able to avoid Dodson's strikes and being able to get Dodson up against the cage, take him down, and inflict some damage. And I think Johnson will keep his title probably by split decision, because I don't think any of these guys has the power to knock the other out.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, a 5-round decision, I think we'll go the way of Johnson.
All right. So that's on Fox on Saturday at 9 p.m.
I should also for people watching the prelims, Clay Guida makes his featherweight debut.
So oh, really?
So that should be worthwhile watching to see how he does a week before Frankie Edgar makes his featherweight debut in the title shot. So we'll see how that goes.
All right. So we're going to move right along. We're changing gears again, Omega. It is time to get our next guest on, Ricky, the reigning ECWA Mid-Atlantic champion, Ricky the Model Martinez. Welcome to the show. I do have to apologize. Ricky, the Model Martinez. I'm sorry, sir. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I just wanted to apologize. We got you on late again.
For like 4 minutes, dude.
I know.
10:30 is 10:30. It's 10:34. I got stuff to do, brother.
I'm sorry.
10:35 now.
10:37 is...
He has no concept of time, Rick.
I really don't.
Apparently not.
I do apologize. It's been one of those days. So it happened last time, too, and we're really not doing it to you on purpose.
I'm doing you a favor, and I'm coming on the radio show, and you're leaving me waiting for 5 minutes at a time. I'm not happy about that.
I know. Well, let's get off to...
Great, Dean.
And I'm hungry. Again.
Oh. Well, let's move on. You had, of course, this historical feud with Mishir Ulala now, and you came away with the Mid-Atlantic title. So.
I told you, like, don't act shocked. Like the last time I was on your show, I told you it was going to happen, right? You remember? You were there.
I was there. You said
you remembered.
You were going to keep that title forever. Actually, you said that on Brady's show, but. You're going to keep it forever.
Yes, forever and ever.
So, do you have any desire to win the world title or the Mid-Atlantic?
I'm going to win them all.
And keep them forever.
I'm going to keep the Mid-Atlantic title, right? You listening? Yeah. You got a pen and paper with you?
I do.
You might want to write this down.
I'm
going to win the world title. Okay. I'm going to win that qualifier in March. I'm going to win the Super 8. Then next year, I'm going to do it again. And then you're off, I'm going to do it again.
Just keep on doing it.
And then guess what?
What?
I'm going to do it again.
You got me on that one, Ricky. Now, what was it like getting in the ring with a veteran like Mishir Ulala?
Not impressive?
I wasn't impressed, to be honest.
But he's like...
Not impressed. He's got to realize. He's way over the hill and past his prime. He's old. He's like 100. He had no business there. He had no business being the champ. I did him a favor taking that target off his back.
But he tossed the boss, Ricky.
No, he didn't. The boss tripped. Fair enough.
Fair enough. Now,
I'll buy that.
So you're not impressed with Mashiro Olalla. You win the title, but let's call a spade here.
What?
Ricky. Let's talk about the truth here, Ricky. I am a man of integrity. I am the dean of credibility.
Well, you're a man of integrity, but you had me wait 6.5 minutes.
Fair enough, Ricky.
You got me there.
Now, I do apologize. You're trying to rattle my cage, and I don't appreciate it, sir. Now, you needed the help of Kerry Klein.
Oh, you stole my question.
No. No one helped me. She was there for moral support, emotional support. She didn't do anything.
She gave him a low blow.
I should have said
what are you talking
about? Guy. She cheated.
No. You're old. You think you saw what you saw, but you didn't see that.
You know what? Every time Ricky tells me something, I believe it. I'm starting to buy it.
And you're a smart man for believing that.
Now, Ricky, let's just be a little honest here. Kerry got herself involved, gave him a low blow, and you DDT'd Olalla, won the title. That's what happened.
He antagonized her. He disrespected her.
He was trying to help her. She was in harm's way.
From what?
From Magnum.
That's not true.
Gus Grand.
No.
Anybody in their way is in trouble.
That's right. I don't get this. I don't get why you just won't come clean.
I think you're really overanalyzing the situation, is what I think. You're acting like a woman right now.
Oh, come on, Ricky.
Yeah.
He's acting like a Kerry Klein?
No, well, just wait a second here. Why Kerry Klein? Why that cougar?
Why not? Look at her. A wolf.
Hashtag wolf.
Yeah. No, you don't say that. I do.
Oh. Sorry.
Dan, go ahead.
I was just trying to put... Well, I was going to say, is there anything else going on, or is she strictly there for eye candy at the ring?
How about this? You ready?
I'm ready. I got my pen and paper.
Right.
I'm ready.
You got it?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Don't worry about it.
All right.
I hope you wrote that down, Dan.
That's all you got to know.
Should I
not worry about it?
Period or exclamation point? Okay, both. Okay, great. No problem. Got it.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good. See what happens if you don't let the man eat, Dean? I can't get a straight answer.
I haven't gotten one straight answer out of the man yet.
Your fault for putting him on the show.
Well, let's change gears here. You also have a big opportunity. March 16th, Carney's Point, 4-man match. Yourself.
That's true.
Keikoa, the Flying Burrito.
That's right.
Yeah. Dean.
Apollyon.
That guy.
Yeah, big fat guy.
I love the show.
And I can't even remember who the fourth guy is. Fill me in.
Yeah, neither can I, right? Shows how important that is. It doesn't matter who's in it, though, because I'm gonna win it anyway. I told you this.
Oh, it's VSK. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to beat him, too.
Good. I'm on your side now. You have changed me. I've seen the error of my ways, Ricky. I'm now a Ricky the Model Martinez fan.
You're welcome. You should be a fan.
I was always
lucky
a fan,
you.
Ricky.
Hey, let the man talk. What'd you say, Ricky?
He said, lucky you. What, are you deaf?
That's it.
I am old.
He is old.
So you're just going to beat him? That's all you got to say about that. Going to beat him. You're in the Super 8. How does that make you feel? You're in the Super 8.
I want to win it. I told you this. You act shocked and surprised, but what's going to happen is I'm going to win the tournament.
What part
of that don't you understand?
Well, who are you going to defeat in the finals? Give us a clue.
Not that it matters. I mean, all talented guys, of course. All talented guys. There's no denying that. None as talented as me, obviously, duh. There's no denying the ability, so I'm not going to sit here and pick someone who's going to make it to the finals with me. You know, out of respect to them at the end of the day.
I have a hypothetical question. What if it's you and the defending Super 8 champion, Greek God Papadon? What's going to happen there?
Oh, well, that's simple. What's going to happen is he's going to lose.
How are you going to put him away? With the wolf lock?
Maybe, maybe not.
I have a full arsenal of attacks, Dean. You understand that? There's a lot going on over here, man. It's not just good looks. It's not just luscious lips and pretty face, you know?
I'm just saying, Dean, with all the wrestlers we interview, it seems like Ricky's got it all figured out.
He's got it figured out. How can you interview a man when they're so perfect, man?
I can't think of anything to say.
Yeah, you still kept me waiting for 5 minutes.
You know what? That's Dean's fault. I'm Dan. That's Dean.
We're both old, though.
Yeah, we're both old, but I'm much better looking.
I don't believe that, but okay.
No, you've seen us.
And the third guy.
Yeah, neither of you guys are that good looking.
Oh, come on, Ricky. The third guy's a mute.
I'm not impressed.
Yeah, the third guy doesn't even know how to speak.
I know, Ricky.
Hey.
Do you have a question, Omega, for Ricky?
What do you got?
Put him on the spot again.
Yeah, put me on the spot again. Awesome. I love it.
Thank you.
Come on. You got to have something. Come on.
Sure. You know, I am a guy who doesn't get up to the shows that you work on. So, you know, could you describe to me what thanks for laughing at me, guys. I appreciate it.
No, I got your back. Go ahead.
Spit it out.
No. So what can I expect when I go to see Ricky the Model Martinez in a match? What kind of style? What kind of excitement do I get to see?
Oh, aside from all the sexiness you can handle, you're going to see some true talent is what you're going to see, hands down. The best thing you've ever seen in your life, pal.
I would agree
that. Think of the most awesome thing ever, and then like amplify that.
Well, that's cool.
Reuniting.
Amplify it by how much?
I got it.
Infinity. Duh.
Xfinity.
That's a lot. Infinity.
It is a lot. Yeah. But it's true.
So, I'm going to go back to a previous question. Why Kerry Klein?
I don't have to answer that. Oh. It's my personal life. I can do what I want.
Are you guys doing it or what?
Woof.
You know, I'm just saying.
Next question.
I love this show so much.
That's confidential stuff, man.
You know what, that was the best answer I've ever gotten.
Next question. Now, Ricky...
Take us out of the hole, please.
Well, no. The last time we had you on, we had a little fun with you. I'm going to give you a series of names.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Maybe places.
Okay.
And you're going to hashtag them for me.
That sounds like fun.
Okay. Kerry Klein.
Hot.
Okay. Hashtag hot. Ooh la la.
Hashtag, I'm going to give him a woof.
How about Magnum, your former manager?
Hashtag unemployed.
Ooh, true. Danny E.
Oh. Hashtag Benedict Arnold.
Mm.
Backstabber, traitor, no good. Uh-huh.
That's a long... That's a long hashtag there.
Just enough character.
Yeah, he's lucky I let him walk out with the way he turned on me. That's unfair. After everything I did for that kid.
Now, of course, at the last ECWA show, you and Danny E, he came out, he answered the open challenge. I mean, how did that make you feel?
I felt betrayed. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know what? That's your problem, pal.
There you go. Future of the business.
I don't have to deal with me. He does.
All right. Here's another one for you. Future of the business.
Yeah. That's a hashtag in itself.
There you go. That is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What do you know about that?
What do I know about that?
Or the future of podcasting in this business.
I'm the future of every business.
I can't wait till the Ricky the Model Martinez podcast starts. That's what I'm waiting for.
After this, absolutely.
I'm telling.
I'll put you out of business.
It'll be quick.
Hey, you can be one of my guests.
Joe Zanoli. There's a hashtag I want to hear.
Hashtag Jigglypuff.
Oh my god, a Pokemon reference.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with that.
Oh my god.
Mike Tartaglia.
My friend.
Hashtag
dad.
Oh.
Oh, that's
kind of touching.
What a guy.
Yeah.
Let's see, Delaware.
Hashtag Walmart. Seriously, like, those people in Delaware, like, hey, I feel like they live at Walmart. And, like, they get their stuff from, like, the $5 bin. Everything.
I'm trying to think. I'm out. Dan, do you have one for him?
Yeah, Dean Dixon.
Tool.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the most selfish individuals I've ever met in my life.
Why are we that selfish, sir? I feel bad.
Yeah, no, you're selfish. You don't keep your promises. You're at a party, you have me wait 5 minutes.
All right.
I appreciate that.
Fast food.
I don't believe in that.
Hashtag don't believe in that. Boobies.
Nice. I'm going to go with nice. Very nice. All right.
Chris, who doesn't know how to ask questions? Hey.
I don't think he heard it.
All right. Well, good.
Probably for the best.
He should say hashtag due diligence. Now, Ricky, I think we had enough fun with you. I do apologize yet again, but you have some big matches coming up. March 3rd.
Oh, yeah, and I'm gonna win them all.
March 2nd. What do you have coming up? Do you remember? Or you're already looking to the Super 8 at this point, I guess.
What was that?
What are you doing on March 2nd?
I'll be in Norgo or UCWA, defending my Mid-Atlantic Championship against some punk.
Well, which punk is it?
I don't know who. Beast Maine. Look at the poster. I don't remember.
Fair enough. Hashtag.
I don't know when anyway, so what's the matter?
That's true. I mean, it's dumb of me to even question anything.
I know. Why are we even doing this?
Where can the fine people follow you, Ricky?
They can follow me on Twitter, at RickyModelPro. And they can also follow at ChadEvansPro and at BenchmarkDaily, too.
Future of the business. There's another member of that. I'm not going to go out there and tell you who, though.
Hashtag
but there is another one.
Business.
Hashtag pineapples.
Hashtag... No, you know what? I'm not going to join your side, Dean.
Pineapple.
See, you're no fun.
He's no fun.
Hashtag dirty Mexican.
Oh, stop it.
You're talking about Keikoa. Him or Papa Don, one or the other.
No. I would never talk about Papa Don. I've learned my lesson.
You're a wuss.
Yes, I have been hit by him. I'd like that never to happen again.
I ain't scared of Papa Don. I ain't worried about it.
There you go.
But I'm going to stop talking about him, too.
I'm going to tweet that right now. At Papa Don, Ricky.
No, you don't have to tweet anything. I'll tweet it myself. Don't worry about it.
Gotcha. All right, no problem.
He'll tweet it himself, Dan.
Gotcha.
No, seriously, don't tweet that.
All right. No problem. I will erase
it. I got it under
right
control.
Now. Oh, I already hit click. Oh, nice.
But, Ricky, it's always a pleasure. Now, next time that we have you on, if we're so gracious to have you on again, if you allow us, if you do come on, I do promise that we'll get right to you.
Yeah, none of this 5 minutes late crap.
You know,
I'll
take control of the board this time. I'll make sure you get right on at the top.
That's right. And I'll be sitting here with my two titles and the Super 8 trophy. Don't you forget it.
And a hot chick.
This is true.
Oh, Carrie won't be there?
Oh, dude.
This interview's over.
Wow.
What are you talking about? Come on, we're all having fun. God, you people.
You're welcome.
Thank you. You have a good night, Ricky.
Thank you.
They call me Dr. Love. Well, they don't call me Dr. Love. They call him
Dr. Love. You know, we were talking about Astley earlier. There is nothing more better than proper grammar, apparently. There's nothing better than Dr. Love to get you fired up for a match. It's a good song.
It's not even a song anymore, but I had to go with what I had available then.
Well, you know, it's still awesome.
He has a custom rap song. Now, I do want to make a disclaimer here. Carrie Klein is obviously a very beautiful woman. If you're in the business, you know, sometimes things are going to come your way that you're not going to be happy with. You're a heel. That's all I'm going to say. I've heard horrible things.
What the hell are you talking about?
I'm just saying. Just in case I hear back, I'm throwing out the preemptive disclaimer.
That we're all on the character.
No, I'm not doing that.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Neither do I.
Carrie's a bad guy, and I can't tell. Are you a bad guy or a good guy?
Who?
You.
I have no clue anymore.
I don't know. Now, you're a good guy at ECWA and a bad guy at New Moon? Is that it?
And a twin.
You know what? You know what? That's true, because you know what? Things are different in one company than the other.
It's true.
That's true. It works perfectly, actually. I have no more complaints.
It's true.
It's damn true. Can we stop now?
Sure.
No, I'm just kidding, dude.
Sure.
Can we stop now?
And good night.
I'm done. Tapping out.
So how you feel over there, Chris?
I'm tapping out due to strikes.
Christ.
You guys suck. That's all I got to say.
Why do we suck? Because I put you...
Because you threw me under the... freaking bus.
Now listen, Omega. Why do you have to tell everyone that you haven't seen their work? Why do you always preface it with that?
Why?
What? Because I don't want to impart some knowledge like I know anything. Because I don't.
I remember, because of course they're gonna go. Remember when I super kicked him in the head? Yeah, sure. I never super kicked him.
You know what? My luck. That'll be the one freaking time. Of course you remember when I did this thing. Right, yeah, of course I did.
Tully Blanchard would have gone, remember when I did the suplex off the top of the cage? I never actually did that. You're a liar.
Well, you know what? When you come to me and ask me a question, Cole, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, I'm pretty much done at that point. So I could have said anything and it wouldn't have got any worse.
That's true. Haven't we been behind the curtain enough tonight?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Me neither. This has been a beautiful train wreck.
Do you want to get further behind the curtain?
Type it, Dan. Don't just come out.
I don't want to need. I don't need to know what you guys do behind the curtain.
And Omega for the win.
Good gracious.
For the record, Carrie Klein, I have nothing.
What was that, Dan?
I have no problems with Carrie Klein, especially since Ricky will beat me up.
I don't know. He seemed a little upset, Dan.
Well, you know, when you answer the phone late, that's what happens.
Well, I'm saying about the ending Carrie Klein question.
Which one?
I don't know. Dan, I'll be right back after this.
Are you bored? Do you need some entertainment?
Yes. Well,
I suggest you check out the Dream Wars Horrorcast. Isn't that right, baby?
You're going to miss a good show tonight. That's your tough luck. I thought you kids were all about team spirit.
Not only are we going to give you an entertaining show, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
I'm going to give you to the count of 10 to get your ugly, yellow, no-good keister off my property before I pump your guts full of lead.
Find them. Facebook or Podbean.
Warriors.
At DreamWars HV.
That creeps me out.
Creeps you out what? That
when he whispers.
Yeah, well, that's of course the Dream Warrior.
Dream Warriors. It's almost like thinking about a friend of ours running the rope.
Stop it, Dan. Now, anyway, we are. We should schedule something with them, Dan. For when The Walking Dead comes back.
I think we should have a mid-season review.
I think so, too.
And it went extremely well the first time. I think we should definitely do a, season review and then a season finale thing.
I agree.
There's plenty to talk about.
Yeah, there is a lot to talk about.
We could even talk
about the video game, too.
I played the first round of that, and I haven't continued yet.
I'm on the third episode at this point.
Is it worth it?
I'd say so. It's fun.
Yeah, I gotta play that. I got it on my Gamefly queue.
Are you allowed to play?
Sorry, Dan. I'm such the third wheel here. I apologize.
That's
not... I forget my place.
Did you hear what I just asked you? No, you didn't hear what
apparently
I asked.
Apparently not.
No, apparently not. Because you wouldn't yell at me, you bastard. I'm done.
Well, what was said? I missed the whole damn thing.
I said, are you allowed to play video games, you jerk?
That's what? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow, there you go.
Yes, I'm allowed to play video games.
That's an answer to my question, third wheel my ass. What is happening?
I don't know. It's been very...
Beautiful train wreck. Beautiful train wreck.
I thought it started out so good.
It started out so beautiful.
And then...
You know who I blame? The Roughneck.
I blame... Never mind. I can't say what I was going to say.
Please don't.
Roughneck was fine. Where were you the whole time sitting there playing down the effects under the interview? I can't talk tonight.
I think we're running out of gas.
It's been a struggle all since it's about half hour in.
Yeah, it really has. Do you need a hug, dude?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, my back still hurts.
How's your neck? Oh, your back. Is that from when Don Warren slammed you against the wing?
I can't talk about it.
I'm talking about it.
Now, next week, who do we have? We have...
That angle was beautiful. The guy got it perfectly.
We have a campaign for a better... Hell in a Cell. That's right. We're going to have Drew Gulak will be joining us from CZW. He's trying to clean up the rubbish there. So he's going to try to clean this show up. Thank God.
Did I leave?
Thank God.
Did I just leave right off the bat?
Perhaps, you might. He might tell you a thing or two about a thing or two. I'll tell you. And also next week, we are going to be joined by the greatest lucha band from the Grimlock system.
Oh, you're kidding.
The Mystery Men. It has been confirmed.
I'm so happy.
So they will be here. We're going to listen to a few of their tracks.
He did the single with... they did the single with... I forgot. Never mind.
Ophidian.
Yes, thank you.
Well, that was actually Haley Jane, who is an adult entertainer. As well as a singer.
Right, of the band.
No, she's not in that band.
Oh.
No.
It's good to have a fallback plan.
They were just involved at the Blank Canvas art show.
That's where I was getting confused. Yes, thank you.
Yes.
I knew there was a correlation somewhere. I knew I wasn't blowing it.
And Ophidian disrupted their set.
Came onto the set and made them stop.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
I molted, damn it.
I changed my skin. Yes.
He molded all right. Amasis, of course, came back under the hood, and, well, that was a pretty good show, actually. Under the hood.
That's very interesting. TNA was at the, I know it's not the same theater, but they were at the Tower Theater, and they basically had the same setup. I really would like to get to a wrestling show at a theater. Preferably Chikara. I prefer not to see a TNA match. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Chikara, really good show that they put on. Under the Hood was their last pay-per-view, of course, at the Trocadero.
Good place. I've seen a Flesh Engine there at the Trocadero. That's right. There you go, Dustin. Now listen to my show.
Flesh Engine.
They have a wonderful producer.
Who's their producer? themselves. Oh. Yes, flesh engine. You know, the markability of that name. Never mind, I'm not getting into that conversation.
There is no markability for that name.
I don't know.
There isn't certain niches.
It's like blank blank show. There's no markability for that name.
That's for sure. So that's next week, Dan. Now, of course, the guest this week, of course, you can follow Greg Excellent at Greg Excellent, strangely enough, on Twitter. And also check out CZWrestling.com for all the information about the February 9th show coming up. Of course, Ricky Model Pro on Twitter. And also follow ECWAProWrestling.com to find out all the information about March 2nd and March 19th.
16.
Whatever it is. Quite frankly, yeah, it would be. I had 14 days. It's 2 weeks later.
Yes, very good.
16th. Because the 19th would be, what, a Tuesday?
That would be a Tuesday, and that would be just silly.
Who wrestles on a Tuesday?
Who wrestles on the 16th? Oh.
WWE wrestles on the Tuesday.
Yes.
Now, American Roughneck you can find at Amari Roughneck. And if you want to follow his travels as well as mine, go to nmrwrestling.com. And we had an exclusive footage that came out on Monday. We had a match from December to Remember that was released today between Mike Reed and the master illusionist Damian Adams with yours truly, Larry Lawson. So, yeah, just a lot of big things. I'll tell you.
Dude, he does magic in the ring.
Yes, he really is.
A nickel out of Keikoa's ear, dude.
He did at the last show. That is correct. That is correct. Dan is not lying. That was actually a really
good moment.
It really was.
It really... Oh! And I will just say this about Keikoa. When he came out to the ring, I think he was legitimately shocked because he did message later on Facebook about it to a standing ovation. And being the cameraman, oh, look, I gave that away. I was right up close to him when he first came out. And he was like, he was legitimately shocked, like, what's going on? Because the ECW, the guys at home from ECWA stood up, and that got everybody else standing up. And it looked quite impressive.
It did. It did.
Really makes it that amount of people sound like 2,000 people. It really gets loud in there.
It does. It does. The Proving Grounds, of course, 1030 Delsey Drive.
Building 4W, exit 25A, 295.
In Westville, New Jersey. If you're punching it on the GPS.
Yeah, don't put in debt for you. You're just driving in circles.
I don't know where it is. You'll wind up in an industrial park down the road a little bit. It did happen. I speak from experience.
We should just move the building down there.
No, also,
it's totally here.
God knows how many people actually go into that. You know, there's our market. We should have somebody standing there.
We really should. You bet. Have a sign put up there. Go, if you're looking for wrestling, it's that way.
Yeah. Of course, Devin Moore from CZW will be joining us on February 6th, and the French Interruption will return on February 13th. A lot of good stuff going on here. Just an odd feel right now, guys.
Yeah, I don't even know why. Everything was okay to me. I don't understand. Let's talk about that later, huh?
I don't know, but... You know, Omega Squad, where can the fine people find you?
After this fiasco, if somebody wants to follow me on Twitter, I can be found at Omega Squad.
What the hell was such a problem with the show?
Dan, where can people find you?
In a corner, hiding.
Rocking Dan, back and forth in a fetal position.
Rocking back and forth, pulling my hair out. Mommy! You think he was the first one to think of that? Dan Law 83.
And you can find me, the Dean of Credibility, Double D, at Folsom County. See you guys next week.
All right, here's yours. I'm very glad you won that fight, Matt, but I'm not impressed by your performance, and I look forward to fight you in the near future.